Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to The Consumers. My name is Greg Warren. To my left, Tim Convey.
Hello, everybody.
Junior, right?
That's right.
I got it this time.
Thank you.
To my right, Sean O'Brien.
Greg, I'm a little nervous.
You're a little flustered, man. You came in, you seems like things are, I don't know. You got a bunch of Dorito or Cheeto dust all over your Otis hat.
I don't know, man. What's going on with it
either. Doesn't look good.
I try to wipe it off today.
Especially
it's back.
With our friends at Otis. You needed caffeine. So you came in with asked Randy for some caffeine. All he had was, you want to explain to us what that thing is?
I mean, we'll talk about it, guys. This is a zero sugar Mountain Dew Baja Blast Tropical Lime.
Wow.
What's the bell up in the corner there? Is that a Taco Bell or whatever?
It's a Taco Bell original.
Yeah.
Okay, so Taco Bell started this drink.
Pioneered it.
They pioneered
that flavor.
Yep.
Randy, you want to talk us through this? I mean, we're new to it.
Yeah, Randy.
You went to the grocery store and sought this flavor out and made the purchase.
Sure.
The packaging is very similar to the Baja Blast, and I've been drinking the Baja Blast Zero a little bit lately, and I grabbed that one, and it was not regular Baja Blast. It was what you have on the table right there.
Do you like it or no?
It works, man. I just keep it around here, you know, a little caffeine now and again, and yeah, it is what it is.
I'm surprised that... that you're drinking a branded soda. I would think you'd be drinking something like Hill Perspiration or something, you know, or some off brand or does whatever Costco calls there.
Instead of Mountain Dew. Okay.
Yeah.
It's double branded. It is Taco Bell and Mountain Dew.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A lot of
it's two brands. That makes
we're
up
really
for
leaning in.
Randy. And we're looking at Pure Life Water, not, you know, your, name brand, but it is brand. It's not one of the leading water brands.
That's pretty Randy brand, if you ask me.
Actually, man, if you're on video, we are plugging a lot right out of the gate.
Yeah, that's fine, man.
I mean, there is a lot going on here. Mizzou, Starbucks, Mountain Dew, Ice Mountain. What else am I missing?
Tim, what's the name of the podcast?
The Consumers.
Yep. It's all about branding and
I'm not mad about it.
Doing our job.
I was more just saying, you know, we want.
I would say we're denigrating Otis at this point.
I have to tell you what happened. I don't know what happened. There was like, I went to
ridiculous.
Wipe it off with a paper towel, and that's what happened. It's like the paper towel fuzz.
Yeah, you should have known
that's
better.
That's a bummer.
You go microfiber, buddy.
Yeah,
Rubbermaid. We got them around here somewhere.
Yeah, Rubbermaid comes through with a lot of that
I'll
stuff.
I'll take care of that.
Yeah.
No, I know. I got to be better. They don't need this aggravation. You know, nice and pristine like you guys do it.
Yeah.
So.
But you're right. You've got Otis. You've got Bills. I got
which,
Blues.
By the way, this is what we. Why I'm nervous because we're taping this before the playoff game.
Yeah.
So when they see this, I don't know if I'm going to look ridiculous or like, all right, he's making sense. I could be supporting a team right now that's out of the playoffs or going to Denver probably.
I mean, you're just wearing a hoodie.
I'm wearing a Mizzou, hoodie, and they lost in their bowl game. So
yeah, I guess you're right.
I guess I could say I'm, you know, most of all, I'm supporting the Mizzou wrestling program. So
there you go.
They're right in the middle of their season.
Yeah, they are looking hot, huh? How are they looking this season? Is this the year?
No, I mean, it's not their strongest team, but I mean, they're right now a top 20 team. I think they could stretch a little bit depending on injuries. They got one guy, Aiden Sinclair, that is ranked second in the country.
Yeah.
He's awful good.
That's huge.
I think two or three other guys that have a good shot at placing at the national tournament.
Mizzou basketball in full swing, too. You could be supporting that. And back to football, portal. We're crushing it in the portal right now. We got a guy from Notre Dame. We got that Ole Miss quarterback.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good time to be a Tiger.
I think we're 10-1 or something like that.
Not quite that, but we've okay. won more than we've lost.
I got it from our friend Dan McKenzie yesterday. He was explaining things to me. So he said we were undefeated, and then we lost bad to Notre Dame. So that would put us at 10-1, but or something like that.
That was a while ago.
I
think they've lost again since then.
Okay,
but they're gotcha. I think overall good. Not super up on it, but I think they've won more than they've lost. And Sean, I think that's important. And they're having fun out there.
Dan called me to offer his sympathies for my friend Freddie DeMarco.
Yeah, that's okay.
And it was a very nice call.
Very nice.
Dan's good about that thing. Within 15 seconds, he was telling me a story about how Vanilla Ice threw a bottle of water at him at the Blue Note in Columbia.
That's great. And you know, without even knowing any of this story, Vanilla was totally in the right.
Yeah, I would have guessed.
I don't even have to hear any backstory. Guarantee you Dan deserved it. 100%.
I'm on Vanilla's side.
Don't even have to hear it. Lucky he just threw that at him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was warm water.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't happy about
it. Yeah, if you knew Dan, he's...
I got a retraction. Apparently, people have done the research. I didn't, but they said that I did say pair of a scissors in my special.
So oh!
I owe Sean an apology.
Okay. I'm ready.
No. Sean, I'm sorry for questioning you on that.
Oh, that's all right,
I don't think it was a bad way to say it. I think
No, it's not.
It's a pretty...
It was more... It was just coming off the crayon thing is why this all started.
Well, when you get your crayon bit on the Tonight Show, we'll see.
Oh, man. Wow. Is he going to be that guy? Man. Oh, where's the light?
Yeah. Just... Look what I can do that you can't. Randy likes it. That's already
Randy
up.
Likes it.
And
we're
I'm
getting
the victim
some people
here.
Saying that that thing is not dark enough, Randy, and that it does look a little better placed right now.
Not dark enough.
Yeah, but it was kind of blocked by Augie, right?
It was blocked. Yeah, I think Augie was intentionally blocking.
Yeah. Now we have a clear.
Yeah,
path.
That's not a. That's yeah. We got a dark one on the way.
Yeah, I ordered a different one. It's a little darker. So I thought this one was going to be a little darker, but you know. Well, it's supposed to come today. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, all we'll right. see.
For our audio people, we're talking about the studio now has a, is it a neon sign, I guess, that says Randy likes it. We turn it on and it blinks when Randy laughs at something.
Randy told me, I mean, it's real neon costs an insane amount of money, right?
I don't know.
It's imitation neon in the fashion of Randy Cash.
Yeah. In the spirit of that. Now Randy likes it again.
Yeah,
hit sorry. The buzzer, Tim.
He likes it.
That's 2 in 5 minutes.
Yeah. You guys didn't expect real neon, did you? Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
He got the job done.
I mean, if you haven't ordered it yet, Randy, I would like just to make it a true Randy Cash original. I would, but like. Randy, but spelled differently.
With an I. Yeah, I did look into neon, and yeah, neon is like thousands of dollars. So yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Right there, buddy.
Sean, really? You want to come through on that?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Thousands?
Sell some cologne, get us a neon sign.
Yeah, man. Well, it looks like, you know, from what we're reading, man, you're kind of, that should, your watch should actually gain value, man. I'm seeing
don't
a
have
lot
it
of
on.
Good things.
Don't
oh, you're not
it.
Wearing it today, man?
Forgot to put it on this morning. Yep.
You're not wearing your watch?
No, I forgot to put it on this morning.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Not good.
By the way, speaking of Greg, I was driving in and I was listening to Nate Land. And did you hear the news of what they're cooking over there with Greg?
No.
I think there's going to be a wrestling match of Vecchione and Greg.
Oh yeah. That's what they want it to happen.
They're it's pushing it hard.
Happen. Oh, on the cruise.
Yeah. I'm sorry. On the cruise.
The cruise that, I need about 9 months to get in shape or something like that.
If you had it, who wins that match?
Right now, I would say Mike. I mean, he's a few years younger and stays in real good shape.
Yeah, but doesn't weight matter? If you guys are different weight classes, it's not a fair wrestling match, correct?
I mean, Mike's probably heavier than I am, I would bet.
I would bet, too. He's
He's a little stocky. Mike's real muscular.
Yeah, he's in real good shape.
Yeah, I mean, he works out a lot more than I do. I mean, you know, at our height, no contest.
Right.
But
you had a much more stellar career.
Yeah. I don't know, buddy.
But is he 10 years younger than you?
No. Thank you for that.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, thanks.
8 years, six, five, four?
I think he's about five. Yeah. I'll tell you this, though, man.
It goes a long way, though.
And I love Mike. And no, just, I wouldn't bet against Greg.
I agree.
Wouldn't
with that.
Bet against it.
Yeah.
I'd go all in on Greg. He'll find a way, man.
Remember,
he tried to take down 45 guys at a Richmond hotel last year, and he was calm about it. I wasn't there, but he was very calm.
Uh-huh.
And I think they knew. They're like, oh, man, this guy might
destroy
us.
I knew. I saw
you were there.
I was like, this could go a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know. I get them all worked
up. 9 minutes
it's fun.
And 30 seconds is my time when we got to some sort of abusive or bullyish behavior by Greg, I think.
No, I'm defending you, man. Yeah. I'm saying that you were the victim, and I'm saying I wouldn't mess with you.
Yeah,
I'm
Mike would put a beating on me right now, I'm telling you. Put your money there. It's not going to happen. I would need a lot of time to get in shape, and I don't know if I could get in that kind of shape. Both of us would probably have a heart attack at this point.
Yeah.
Be great for the cruise, though.
Yeah, yeah.
One
really
3 minute
entertainment
match. Is that what it was?
I shouldn't have said no contest in our height. I mean, my credentials are a little more than Mike, but you know, anything can happen. And Mike did spend a year wrestling in college. So he's
a year.
Not a bum at all.
Where did he go to school?
Penn State.
He wrestled at Penn State for a year?
He wrestled
all
Penn State.
All bets are off.
Now, he wasn't, they weren't what they are today.
Got it.
But they were very good, a top five program. Okay. Mike was there. I
can't believe we haven't had Mike on yet.
I know, we got to make that happen.
I think it's just a logistical thing. We'll get him on.
Okay. It's not about this, Matt. It's not like a...
I don't think he
would. Mike would be one of my lead guests. He's one of the funniest comedians out there and one of the nicest people.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Mike Vecchione has a couple specials on Nateland. If for some reason you don't know about that, shame on you. But
low income white, I believe, is the
last one. Yeah, it's hilarious.
What if Mike came on and he just went Nickerson?
No way, man.
That's not his style.
It's not his style, man.
Not his style.
Guy's Nickerson. And again, I want to say I love Nickerson, man. And the guy's... done a nice job as a guest, but
it's a lot of
doesn't show a lot of class when it comes on as a podcast guest.
I liked it. Thought it was great.
Oh, you guys thought it was great. You thought Augie was great when he came on here and took shots at me. It's really
it's just good. It's good stuff.
Tim, you had anything going on with you?
This is yesterday.
Sean, what do you got?
Yeah, let's talk about it, man.
It gets funnier every time. Yeah. There's a new Randy like that.
That was a many. We're at three
I'll
today,
take
folks.
It. That's three blanks.
You're scoring at home.
new place opened up in
Rondell Licks It, I think would be the the off brand.
Rondell.
Randall enjoys this. I don't.
Yeah.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a new spot open by our house. It's like it's a coffee shop and stuff, but you also bring little kids there. It's kind of a playground inside. So we went in.
What is this?
Emma and I, huh?
Where is this?
In Kirkwood.
Where?
On Argonne.
Argonne and what?
It's across from, it's right by Billy G's.
It's a coffee shop and playground?
There's a coffee shop in there, but it's for you make reservations and you bring little kids in there. There's a playground
okay,
inside.
So it's not for me.
Play space, whatever.
Unless I go with
so
you.
It's so funny. So we went in there because it's really nice. The coffee shop is nice. And I'm like, this place is great. She's like, you and Greg should right here. And I'm like, I think we'd look pretty weird.
Yeah.
At the.
We could bring Timothy and Jack.
For sure. And, yeah. and we're all about it. So. We go there and try it, and it was great. And I was like, this is great. And then the next day, this is without our kids. The next day, Emma's like, let's go. Let's just go back there. I love that place. So we go in, and the barista is the same that had been working before. She goes, you guys were in here yesterday? And we're like, yeah. And she goes, you look really, really familiar. She goes, and you looked familiar to me yesterday. Like, do I know you? This barista has a large jack-o'-lantern tattoo on her arm.
Okay.
Okay, which to me says what?
Ludo fan?
This is a Ludo fan.
Yeah.
So I say, because sometimes I'll do this, I think people, I don't want to be like, oh, so I go, I play music. is what I said, thinking that they'll go, oh, because they think that that's who I am, but they don't want to just come out and say it. So I see the tattoo. She goes, oh, you look so familiar. Do I know you from something? And I go, I play music. And she doesn't bite at all. And she goes, I used to work at Starbucks. Did you used to go to Starbucks a lot? Yeah, yeah. I go,
Yeah. I think that's it,
man. I went to that Starbucks a lot. It is.
Yeah. That happened to me not too long ago at the bank where she's like, hey, why do I know you? And I'm like, you probably watch a lot of Nateland, I'm sure.
Did you say it just like that?
Oh, yeah. She was cool. I could just tell. She's like, no. And she's like, you worked at the Cheesecake Factory. I was like, they fired me.
Yeah.
And then turned up. We actually worked together for like three months.
The height of your looks, too, wasn't it?
I know. It was Hot Sean days.
Oh, you worked together?
Yeah, but it was like she was there like 2 months, like the last 2 months I was there. She was her first two. So like our time together was very short.
You dated several of the employees over there, didn't you?
Yeah, man. I had a nice run. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, Cheesecake Factory, man.
Did it help you climb the ladder?
What do you mean? Like a
climb the ladder? He came in as a bartender and he stayed a bartender and then was fired as a bartender.
Wow.
That's not really climbing ladders.
I didn't know if it was strategic, his dating.
I mean, I had a lot of secret shoppers where I got the hundreds. Big money for the GMs on that one.
You got money because the secret shopper would come in and.
No, I did not. Oh. The management does.
Oh, 100 meaning the score.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They come in and they rate your performance, your attitude, are you polite and blah, blah, you know.
Tim thought
nailed it.
A secret shopper was coming in and dropping a $100 bill on you.
I thought if the secret shopper rated you well, you got a $100 bonus. I thought that's what he was saying.
No, and I apologize for saying that. They would come in, there was like 50 checkpoints, and you had to hit them all.
Right.
And if you hit them all, you got the 100, and then you got a pat on the back, and then the bosses got.
If we had 50 checkpoints on this podcast.
What do you think? That would be my secret shopper score.
I think you're going to hit an average of 7.
Oh, man. 7 out of 50. All right. 7's probably. I wonder what the 7 would be. Let's go with the positive.
Wears a shirt.
Yeah. Okay. That counts.
Yeah. I'd give you all of them, buddy. I think you do a great job.
Nice. Yeah, that's the attitude I like.
Yeah. I wanted to share this too. I haven't talked to you guys since and Randy, I don't know if we talked about it too. Over the break, the day after Christmas, actually, I did. I think we've talked about it before, but there's this band here called El Monstero. It is a Pink Floyd tribute band. They do 7 nights at the Pageant every year. They play the amphitheater. Just a really big.
We're getting into an interesting,
really big discussion on this. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I heard a commercial, and I think it was Blue Oyster Cult was opening for El Monstero.
Yeah,
and I was like, "That's crazy. This is like a very famous rock and roll band.
Yeah,
very successful rock and roll band that's opening for a cover band in St. Louis." And Tim said, "Tribute band, whatever." He goes, "Dude, it's very different." He goes, he did say these words. He goes, "El Monstero." They're not like anybody else. I go, well, I know one band in particular they're very much like. That would be Pink Floyd.
That's funny.
It's a few blinks from Randy.
Yeah, Randy.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. Good fun. But they are this big kind of thing. And I mean, Randy, I assume you've seen them.
I've seen him.
Mark Quinn and I were in a band together called Lex Luthor back in the 90s. Jimmy Griffin, the guitar player, was my roommate for a while.
I didn't know
Cubby.
Mark Quinn.
Oh, Kevin Gagnepain was in Stir. Kevin and I are good buddies. I've known these cats for a while.
St. Louis All-Stars, it's really cool. So they do these multiple nights over Christmas.
By the way, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, sure.
But I will say, like, I admire what those guys do. I would be.
No, it's a good bit.
I bet I would enjoy. I enjoy cover bands. I enjoy tribute bands. All of it. So I would probably like it a lot. It's just a funny coincidence that you said that they were unlike anybody else.
Yeah. You know, great bit, buddy. You don't have to apologize for that. Yeah. So they every night they do these shows. They have a different guest will come out and sing this one particular song. It's called "Have a Cigar," and they asked me to be a guest and to sing this song. I am not a big Pink Floyd guy by any means.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Just not something I ever got into. I just don't, It doesn't do much for me, honestly. But I've seen the show before. The show's incredible. The production's incredible. These musicians are incredible. It's a whole lot of fun. Yeah. And it's just I was very flattered to be asked because I look up to these guys. And so I learned this song, Have a Cigar, and it's one of the more popular Pink Floyd songs, but this is not in my wheelhouse at all, singing Pink Floyd, but I got to work really, really hard on it. And these guys are all so cool. It's like this, you know, Ludo's this kind of nerdy thing, and the punk rock thing is kind of the punk rock thing. And this is just, these guys are just very cool rock and roll, and I'm really like intimidated by it. And I work really hard to learn all the words and sing the song well. And I go to the sound check and I do the sound check and it goes fine. And then I go and I do the show and I'm out there and I'm singing and there's a little, I'm like, they're not giving me a lot of direction. And the show's this big choreographed orchestrated thing. And they're like, oh, the girls are going to come out with you. And then here, take this money. And they give me this big stack of fake money. And they're like, you're going to throw it out and you're going to throw out these cigars. The song is Have a Cigar. And
I'm like, a little on the nose.
I'm like, okay, you just can't leave El Monstero alone, can you? You owe them another apology.
Did you get what's going on there?
I did, buddy.
Because the song is Have a Cigar, so right. they handed out cigars.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I also thought with the fake money, that was going to be a lead into the song Money. I thought
they
do. Going
they
on there.
They hand out money during Money as well. But good for you, big Pink Floyd guy.
I just know the majors. So
I go and I sing and I do fine. I'm feeling pretty good, right? And then there's this part where the vocals are over and they're just kind of rocking out, solos coming in, the lights are going off, and the girls are around, you know, kind of dancing. And I know that I'm kind of proud of myself for like, I didn't really mess up the words too bad. Everything went well. It's time to toss out this money. And I have this stacks of fake money that I'm supposed to get. Sold out show, by the way, 2,000 people at the pageant. And, throwing out money to a crowd is much easier said than done. I take like, you know, handfuls of it. I kind of pinch it and I kind of throw it and it kind of just blows back on me.
Right back to you.
Or you throw a stack and it just kind of travels as a stack. Like nothing cool is happening. So I've sung the song and look cool. And now I just looked and the people can see the disappointment in my face. And I throw it. I try it again because I have so much money. And finally, someone in the audience, looks up at me, kind of shakes their head, and then motions to me like this. Do this. This is the thing you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's the thing,
the
making it rain type thing. I've never made it rain before in my life. I'm not a making it rain type of guy.
Yeah.
But that's the that's the thing you got to do. So somebody pantomimes this to me in the audience. And by then, I was so embarrassed. I did it for like one, and then I just shifted to the scar throughout and got off there. So I did the job. I delivered, and then...
He tried to do the cigars.
Ruined it all. Yeah. Broke them all.
The fake money.
On the thing.
But maybe it's fairness too. Maybe the fake money, maybe it was like lighter. Like it was like Monopoly money. Thank so it didn't you. Have as much.
Yeah, man. If it was real money, he would have nailed it.
Yeah, I would have nailed it.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to look.
You are right. Because it has more texture to
more
it.
More like.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm trying.
Now that's cool. Real money would. I wouldn't know. Yeah. I appreciate it because it was all. It was.
It was real money. Like somebody had a stack of 100s thrown at them, they probably would have been fine with it, even if they got hit in the head.
Right. No matter what.
Yeah.
I agree. I thought for a second it was. I was like, they spend some money, man. They know what they. But it was fake. As it turns out.
You ever see online that? And it's like in every major city, people just leave cash.
Yeah.
Like these, it's called Cash St. Louis,
yeah.
Cash Nashville, Atlanta. Yeah. And they just put like, I don't know, 100 and then wad it up. I mean, it looks like thousands of dollars behind like a rock at Forest Park in St. Louis. And there you go. Like it'll show you one little like.
What do you mean?
So if you follow one of these things on social media, right? If I follow it on Instagram, Cash St. Louis, and I'm hanging out in Kirkwood and, I check my Instagram and Cash St. Louis is like, hey, we just hid this thing at the, there was a thing at the Magic House recently.
Oh yeah.
And I'm down the street. I'm going to go there as quickly as I can and try to be the first one there and get that cash. So you follow it in hopes that you'll kind of be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I see.
But they do this and they obviously have a ton of followers. And then I remember the Magic House thing in particular, they were like, stop, you're screwing up our parking lot. The whole, like it's somebody found the cash already. It's gone. But yeah, you're right. It's in multiple cities.
I think you'd have about...
Randy, call Magic House right now and ask him about it. Hey, I heard there's some cash there.
Some guy had a video.
Yeah, it said that there's some cash. I got a group of middle school kids. I'm wondering if I can bring them over and get the cash. They said it was there every day. That would probably, Tim and I have both done a fundraiser for the Magic House several years in a row. So that might preclude us doing that if we.
I'm a big fan. Boys love it.
It's a great place.
Great place, man.
If you come to St. Louis, and I would say bring your kids to St. Louis just to take them to the Magic House.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
It is awesome.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The brand this week is Chef Boyardee, selected by Tim Convey. Tim's going to take
all
you
right,
through it.
All right, man. This is big.
Do some serious research on
Chef
it.
Chef Boyardee. You guys fans? You into it?
Yeah, man. No, this is exciting.
I'm going to guess I never had it.
In your life?
Whoa.
Maybe like, I don't remember ever having it. Really? I probably had it somewhere, but as a child.
Wasn't a part of your thing. What,
no.
In like college?
College, no.
Really?
No.
It's so convenient and delicious.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Just not part of my life.
That was a part of mine.
Boyardee, that's not a real guy. That's a character created to sound Italian, right?
No, man, it's a real guy.
Boyardee is?
Boyardee is probably is what it was.
Boyardee? Yeah,
absolutely a real person. He himself changed the spelling. In fact, I'm going to tell you all about this guy. He was born.
This is how Tim does reports. He keeps telling you what he's going to tell you.
He was born in Italy. He's okay. The real deal. I know. I'm just going to keep moving.
Just plow, buddy. You're doing great.
October 1897, he was born in Italy, the real country. He is really an Italian guy. At the age of 11, he was working as an apprentice chef at a restaurant in Italy called La Croce Bianca.
Good.
I think I got that right. The White Cross is what that means. He was basically just peeling potatoes, dealing with the trash. He was 11, guys. And then he moved to Paris and London, and he started to learn some more skills, but still very, very young. In fact, when he was 16 years old, he came over to the United States at Ellis Island. He was a real Ellis Island guy.
This is awesome already.
Picture a 16-year-old in the Chef Boyardee hat, the big chef's hat, yeah. Gets off the thing, and he looks at the Statue of Liberty. Came over on a French ship. He got there and immediately went to work in New York. He worked at high-end restaurants, including the Claridge Hotel and the Ritz-Carlton. Ever heard of it?
Whoa.
Came over with his family. He had two brothers, Mario and Paolo, and they all started working in restaurants. Paolo was a server at the Plaza Hotel in New York City. Yes, that Plaza Hotel from Home Alone 2, Sean.
Yeah, I know it, buddy.
Kevin McAllister's existential crisis. Paolo's a waiter there, and he goes, hey, you should come over and get a job. Chef Boyardee goes over to the Plaza Hotel, big old fancy thing, and works his way all the way up to being head chef. According to the numbers, according to what I've done, he's head chef at like 18 or 19.
Jeez.
A lot of the years jump around a little bit. Some of the stuff, you know, we talk about it all the time. When it comes to the internet, people are just borrowing the same information from each other.
Yeah.
Hard to really tell what's true. Some of this timeline stuff was a little bit.
Yeah, the question is, how good is he or how bad was the last guy?
Oh, yeah, that they're like, that teenager. Yeah.
He got this 15-year-old running shop.
Yeah, he's going to be better than Carl. 15. I know he's 15. He's going to be better than Carl.
He's got a chef's hat and a mustache.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's got the right name. I know no matter what he does, he's going to be better than Carl. What did Carl do?
Nothing. That's why he's gone. That's why I'd be ordering.
Nah, you'd have to do something actually negative. You couldn't be neutral. You'd have to do something negative.
Yeah.
In order to be replaced by a 15-year-old and make it an upgrade. I think Carl, he probably insulted some of the higher paying customers.
Could have been. Steaks are high at those fancy places.
Yeah, man.
Steaks are outstanding from what I heard.
Yeah, really, really good, good steaks and Italian food, as it turns out. So he worked his way all the way up to head chef. And then, again, some of these details a little bit foggy, but he secured a summer job cooking at the Greenbrier Resort in West Virginia.
Oh, man, I know a guy that, like, lives there.
In his West wife Virginia?
Is, yeah, but a buddy of mine, I think his wife got a job as a doctor in that area or something. It's one of Freddie's friends and my friends.
Is that right?
And then so he wound up basically being able to hang out. It's very elite. I guess he could hang out there and play golf all the time.
Oh, cool.
You'd probably know some people.
This guy just talks about all the people he knows there and then turns it into a shot at me. Unbelievable.
Pretty slick, Greg. Yeah. Pretty slick.
Left his watch at home. That's how much he cares about his $4,000 watch that he just didn't bother putting it on today. And he's going to take a shot at me that maybe I know somebody at some random golf club in West Virginia.
I heard it, man.
What the guts on this guy.
Greg, thoughts on what he had to say there?
I mean, basically, I was just, you know, calling back a thing that we do on this podcast, and it seems like a bit of an overreaction.
I was just doing a bit.
I mean, it's very defensive, man. Very defensive.
Maybe a little, but it was.
Okay, let's reenact it. Just say
sure.
Something.
Oh, here we go. Did do the high pitch thing. We've seen it all before. Here we go. And action.
Who goes first?
You can be Greg. Go ahead, Sean.
All right. How did what was your opening line?
You should say, Tim, you probably know some people. It's a country club.
Oh, yeah. Tim, you know some people.
Country club, Greg.
That's kind of how that went.
Dead ringer. Just dead ringer. Back. Being sarcastic. All right, dive in. Back on the tracks, Timmy.
So he's out at Greenbrier where Greg knows God only knows how many people. And over that summer, he's chefing, man. Chefing ain't easy. Guess what happens?
Easy, man.
Guy named Woodrow Wilson, second marriage, and who oversees the catering? Who oversees the whole thing? Our boy. Chef Boyardee.
Our boy, Boyar.
Did I say this already? His name is Ettore Boyardee, but when he moved to America, he basically just went by Hector.
Wait a minute. What about Woodrow Wilson?
Woodrow Wilson, he's the president.
I know who he is.
His second wedding, Chef Boyardee.
Oh, second wedding was catered by.
What'd you think I said?
I didn't get the wedding part. Oh, yeah.
So he's cooking he's crushing it, right? And old Woodrow.
Garlic, from what I understand.
Yeah, there's garlic. There's all, and it was a.
That's what he's crushing.
Oh, okay. It was a 14 course meal, which gave old Woodrow some ideas. It's a really deep cut, but somebody out there is going to enjoy it.
Sure.
Just a ton.
I don't get it.
14?
14.
14 points. Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, wow.
Nothing. Yeah.
That's good.
I'm great. Impressed.
That was the, something to do with, was that at, what after World War One, what Germany had to do or something, or I don't know.
It was basically how the world at large was going to move on.
After WW1? Or before WW1?
I think it was, I don't know if it was it was after one.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Would that make sense?
Yeah. That sounds familiar. But yeah, I don't know. I couldn't put my finger on exactly what it is.
Yeah, it was after one.
Okay.
Let me confirm.
All right.
It was after one. So Woodrow Wilson goes, man, this guy crushed it.
Kind of defensive.
This guy crushed it. And a few years later, Boyardee hosted a dinner for 2,000 soldiers returning from World War One. Woodrow Wilson's like, I know a guy. It's the guy who did my wedding.
Yeah.
Let's bring him in. So that's kind of a big deal. Not the end of Boyardee's relationship with the government and the troops. In 1917, before or after that dinner, we don't really know. We know that he moved to Cleveland and he worked at, again, some fancy restaurants. And while he was there in Ohio, he started developing this spaghetti meal and this really good pasta sauce that he liked. He was at one particular hotel for a while. And then in 1924, he opened his own place in Cleveland. It was called Il Giardino d'Italia.
The Italian garden.
The garden of Italy. Yeah. It is over in Cleveland. And people were like, this sauce is amazing. This stuff is incredible. Can you give me some samples of the sauce? Can you give me the recipe? They asked for it and they asked for it and asked for it. And finally, he's like, I'm going to just start selling this sauce. What was around? What was plentiful? Milk bottles. He started selling the sauce separately in milk bottles.
The big ones?
Kind of cool, right? No, I, well.
Oh, they had the smaller ones back
then.
Yeah,
picture like this, these things, yeah. In 1928, he met this couple who were fans of his restaurant. They'd go there all the time, the Wainers. They helped Boyardee and his brothers develop a process for—
Doug and Wendy Wainer, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
What's that a reference to?
Something stupid.
What is it?
The Wainers on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wendy Wainer.
Bill Murray? Gilda?
I got nothing.
Or am I picturing something else? It's from the first couple seasons.
It's old. I think so. Yeah. It was.
Oh, yeah, that is old.
Oh, Piscopo.
That's a little more recent.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different sketch altogether.
Doug and Wendy Wainer.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
I do remember that.
Old Piscopo. Piscopo and who's the gal? Anyway. All right. So they helped them develop a process for canning the food at scale. They also procured distribution across the United States through their groceries wholesale partners because they owned a small chain of grocery stores. And they were like, hey, let's sell this in our stores. We'll help you get it in other stores. Now, another—
Boyardee owned some grocery stores?
No, the Doug and Wendy.
Oh, Doug and Wendy Wainer.
Yeah. Maurice and Eva, as it turns out, were their actual names.
Okay.
So anyway, they're like, oh, it's good. We can help you get into grocery stores. Another story goes that Paulo, who at that point went by Paul Boyardee, the good chef's brother, was still at the Plaza Hotel serving. And then one of the dishes they served was the brother's spaghetti dish with his sauce. And that one day, Paulo was waiting on a guy named John Hartford. John Hartford was the president of A&P Supermarkets. And Hartford said, hey, go into manufacturing and I can get you into all the A&P supermarkets all across the country. We don't really know.
A&P was a big deal on the East Coast, man. You know, we had one in Kirkwood.
In the 20s?
No. I'm just saying when I was a kid, that World Global Foods, that was an A&P.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow.
And then it was it a National?
It was a National for a long time.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
A&P was here. I do remember that.
No kidding.
I don't know if there's any A&Ps left, but what is left is 8 o'clock coffee. That was their store brand for A&P.
Really?
And it was so good, it kind of became its own brand.
Huh.
Yeah.
What is it called?
8 o'clock coffee.
I think I know that. I think it's a red bag.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. You would probably know. I think we had it back home. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a thing.
8 o'clock coffee. I think it's a red bag with black lettering.
Randy's working the...
All
right.
Yeah.
White lettering, but I was getting there.
8 o'clock.
Yeah, you're there,
coffee.
Man. Yeah.
From A&P.
A&P. That's
good stuff. So after the spaghetti sauce, their next product was a complete spaghetti meal, including a canister of grated Parmesan cheese, a box of dry spaghetti, a jar of sauce held together in cellophane wrap. This really hadn't been done. Hey, here's the meal. You just heat it up. Here's what you're going to do.
Right.
At that point, late 20s, that their company became the largest importer of Italian Parmesan cheese.
Amazing.
And was way up there with olive oil.
Really?
They were going for it. So they started putting it out and they were like, hey guys, spaghetti's cheap. It's a good choice to serve the entire family. Here we go. They introduced it to the public in 1928. Things grew and grew. In 1938, 10 years later, production was moved to Milton, Pennsylvania, where they could grow enough tomatoes to serve the factory's needs. Boyardee only wanted fresh tomatoes and mushrooms in his pasta sauce. So they opened this big place when they started growing their own tomatoes. 20,000 tons of tomatoes per season at peak they were making. They also grew their own mushrooms in the plant. As they kind of were taking it to the public, he's like, Boyardee is difficult for non-Italians to pronounce. He himself said, we're changing it. And he changed the spelling to the spelling we know because it was Boyardee.
Oh, okay.
And now, of course, Boyardee with the dashes and everything.
So it's the accent is on boy.
I mean, what people say is Boyardee.
Yeah.
But it's, I think it's Boyardee.
Yeah. Chef Boyardee is how I always heard it.
Yeah.
Which is incorrect, but
right.
But also probably he
didn't care.
He was leaning that way anyways.
As
he was helping you get there.
As long as you were buying that.
Now,
pasta,
when did they keep the restaurant open during all this?
He got back into the restaurant game. Whether those restaurants stayed open continually, I can't answer that question. I mean, by this time they moved it to Pennsylvania, so I have a feeling. I don't know for sure, but I know
I'm fascinated by people stuff like that.
I know he still had. Whether
I'm not saying that you did a bad job on the research.
No, I did.
I always just wonder when somebody says like when it's like they move from one thing to another. It's like there's probably a little overlap. So you know, I bet you things weren't going well with that restaurant. He's like, hey man, I ordered my pasta. He's like, yeah, dude. I'm supplying the whole country with spaghetti right now. Okay. You want to like,
I changed my name for this and you're complaining.
Yeah. And then one day he's like, guys, we're gonna have to shut the restaurant. I can't be bothered with this stupid stuff because I'm supplying the world.
Yeah. You know? He got back in, to the Cleveland restaurants, but whether it was operating continuously or not, I do not know that for sure. So it's blown up. It's going well. They changed the name. Easy to talk about. They're running ads. They're saying, hey, let's just buy one thing, cook it for the whole family. It's easy and it's inexpensive. That was their game. That was their hook back in the late 20s all the way up through now.
Yeah.
That's what they still sort of lean on. Then World War II happened. And guess what? His old friends at the U.S. government, Uncle Sam, Woodrow Wilson, all those people were like, you know what? Let's contract Chef Boyardee. And we're going to feed the troops.
Yeah.
Because
he already played the second wedding.
Already played the second wedding. Yeah. Already did the welcome back from World War I. And this guy's only done good things since then. This will be really easy for the troops because it's shelf stable. It's filling. It's familiar because guys are like, oh, yeah, I kind of know what that stuff is. And then very easy to heat up. So huge contract with them. In fact, the U.S. government helped fund that huge factory in Pennsylvania. They expanded their operations and the U.S. government wrote the checks directly and said, hey, let's do this. Now, whether that actually had to do with the Woodrow Wilson relationship or not, Woodrow, you know, not in office by then, I don't really know, but you think, you know people, you know, it's all about relationships, Sean. You know
it is. Hey, what
I mean,
did
if you
happen?
Think about it. Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you, buddy.
I was going to
say. You're the one with the dirty hat.
I'm really upset about this, too, because my intention was to clean it up, but I'll have to be better.
Sorry, my Nateland hat is a mess, almost to the point I can't wear it.
That's right. We can get you a new one. I was going to say, what do you think happened to that first chef at the first wedding? You think he's out doing anything?
That's a great question.
Yeah, that's a real good question.
You'd think that would be an automatic that he'd have him back. So
no,
man.
Different women. Are you kidding me? Your wife is not going to want you to have anything
maybe he's not calling any of those shots.
Yes, that's what I would say. And if he was that great, he would have come back, but it opened the door for Boyardee and the rest. And the rest is history.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So the government helps them expand.
Yeah.
Canned pasta feeding American and allied troops. Were you going
to
say something?
I just think it had to be sort of a thumb in the eye of the Axis. I mean, you're over in Italy, eating Italian food, not from Italy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. We'll
it's an interesting
you.
Thing.
That Mussolini got.
I bet you it infuriated him.
Infuriated him.
Yeah. He's like, well, at least our guys are eating Italian food and they aren't. And they're like, oh, no, no.
I got news for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got, we got Chef Boyardee. He's like, it's pronounced Boyardee.
Yep. And you know they hated
Boyardee.
It.
Boyardee.
And you know they hate it because it was, we'll get into it later, but the flavor was, it was
Americanized
for an American palate.
Yeah,
it's part of the reason.
A little
that
more neutral.
That it did so well. So he's feeding the troops over there.
I heard a couple of these guys from the Italian army captured some of the allies.
Okay.
Confiscated their Chef Boyardee.
Is that right?
And then Mussolini came in one day, and they preferred the Chef Boyardee. And you talk about,
oh man,
because he was a pretty angry guy, anyways.
Yeah. He fired
that
hot.
That put him over the edge.
Yes.
What I hear?
What, hands flailing
all over, man,
yeah.
Everywhere.
Huh?
He fed the troops, including his own son. His own son Mario was a sharpshooter in the U.S. Army. So that plant at the time, with the U.S. government's help, was operating 24 hours a day. It became the largest supplier of rations during that war.
Yep.
Sean,
your grandfather was a dull shooter at one point, wasn't he?
A dull shooter.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, man. That was private.
Randy sign just falls off the wall.
I know, man. Randy left.
Randy does not like it.
Dude, Randy dislikes it.
Randy hated it.
Randy hated it.
Randy quit. So great, just a American story. Comes over Ellis Island, and then he's just crushing it. His kid's in the army, sharpshooting. He does the big contract with the army, and they gave him a Gold Star of Excellence, the U.S. Department of Defense did. Chef Boyardee killing it. And as we've seen with a lot of brands that we've even talked about during wartime, they were able to grow. That was they were making more rations than anyone else. So when the servicemen came back, they all knew what it was. They're like, oh, I know how to do this. This is really easy. They thought they were, you know, heroes to their family because it was these very easy meals to prepare for the whole family.
Yeah.
It grew the brand a ton. Things get a little bit interesting here after World War II, right? It grew the brand a ton, but they weren't making it for the troops 24 hours a day. It did, you know, it changed the business a little bit.
Economies of scale.
Exactly. Yeah. A few different versions of what happened, but the one that certainly Chef Boyardee likes to put out there, and then his family, he has a granddaughter or a niece or something that's like a cook and puts out these, you know, Boyardee family recipes and stuff. So she's written a lot of the kind
Stacey
of
Boyardee.
Story as we know it. No, it's, I want to say it's Anne, actually.
Okay.
But the deal is that the production, like I said, changed after the war, and a lot of the people's jobs were at risk because they had hired a lot of people to keep that thing going 24 hours a day in order to preserve the employees' jobs. Boyardee and his brother Mario decided to sell the company to American Home Foods in 1946. So they did sell it in 1946 for nearly $6 million, which if you adjust for inflation, 99 mil.
Wow.
A cool 99 mil.
Yeah, that's very good, cool. Good money.
I did not research that. I just saw that and was like, here's what it is for inflation. That seems extraordinary.
99 mil?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
I don't know. We can crunch numbers on that later. But again, different versions of like, there was maybe some family infighting. There were some other things potentially going on. But, you know, I like this story. He didn't want to have to let people go. So he sold. At this point, he did those restaurants in Cleveland, were operating. So maybe they operated continuously. Yeah. Maybe he got back into the game. And one was called Chef Hector's. He sold, but he remained very involved. You know, it was his picture on everything. He was a spokesperson. He was a consultant all the way until 1978. He appeared in commercials for the brand. And he lived until 1985. In 1985, he died in 1987. By the 80s, for sure, a household staple. He got to see his picture all over the place. You guys are about to eat this.
Yeah.
You're going to take a few bites of these, the microwave Chef Boyardee thing. As you do that, though, I want to watch this. This is a commercial from early 1950s, I think. And then we'll get into some of the marketing stuff and the flavors and all that. But this hits it home. Again, same message that they were preaching all the way up until today, but this is the actual guy, Chef Boyardee, in a commercial for his product in 1953.
Hello, may I come in? I am Chef Boyardee. Perhaps you have seen my picture on Chef Boyardee products at your grocer's. Today, I want to tell you about a wonderful dinner for three. A dinner that only
looks
costs...
Good. Just incidentally, this is called spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah.
No meatballs?
No, I think it should be called spaghetti and meatball.
Sure.
Oh, it was...
No, wait. There's more than one. I got another one.
It looks good. Is it good?
It's good.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah.
15 cents a serving. It's my own Chef Boyardee spaghetti dinner with meat sauce or mushroom sauce. It all comes in one carton. A full half pound of tender, quick cooking spaghetti, 10 full ounces of rich, tasty sauce, and to top it off, a whole can of Zippy grated cheese.
How's the Chef Boyardee tasting?
He's keeping it going.
Man, he's keeping
it going.
Well, I'm glad you asked, buddy, because...
Yeah, how is it, Sean?
And it still tastes like 1992. I love it.
In a good way?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
The thing about this was so great. It was the time. You got what I call, not the healthiest meal probably, but 2 minutes, I have a meal, and I'm good for the night. Yeah. If I'm out running around. Actually, I say 92. It was probably even late 90s when I was like running around. Or if I got, like, going out with friends, got home, I just popped that in the microwave.
Totally.
Don't want to deal with the pizza because that's a 30-minute process.
I also associate 2 minutes with, perfect. As a kid, one of the first things I could completely make for myself. You know, that wasn't as easy as, oh, you just take it out of the pantry or the refrigerator and eat it. But there's some preparation involved, even if that is just a microwave. Or
really?
I was.
It's the first thing you can make for yourself as a kid. Boyardee's working at a restaurant as a chef.
I know.
At 11 or something.
I know.
And you know, soft.
Yeah, but could he be a podcaster? As good as Tim. See?
It's a handsome Italian man.
And look for other Chef Boyardee's products. They're also delicious, they're also nourishing, and they help keep the cost of your meals down. Chef Boyardee's products are at Best Grocer.
Ask for Chef Boyardee's spaghetti dinner. Only about 15 cents a serving.
15 cents a serving?
Yeah.
And you see they're saying Boyardee.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the way it's like, it's funny that, man, they really do help you spell it. They spell it like it.
With the dashes.
Yeah. The dashes. Yeah.
Randy, can you show us from the top? Would you mind doing that?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, buddy.
Look at this. Creed. Look at Creed on the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Creed. I moved Timothy's Creed the other day, by the way.
Yeah. I got to get
to the garbage. Yeah.
No.
Please do not throw that.
Here we go.
Hello. May I come in?
He's in your kitchen.
I am Chef Boyardee. Perhaps you have seen my picture on Chef Boyardee products at your grocer's. Today, I want to tell you about a wonderful dinner for three. A dinner that only costs about 15 cents a serving. It's my own Chef Boyardee spaghetti dinner with meat sauce or mushroom sauce. It all...
You get it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, kind of revolutionary at the time. Hey, it's this whole kit that you're heating things up and you're making it. And look, you can cook for your whole family and it's easy and delicious. And look at me. I'm this Italian chef. I'm involved. That was very much part of the marketing. Like I said, it didn't change from all the way back then, all the way.
When did that commercial air?
Up through now. That one is from 1953.
So he was like the colonel at that point. He doesn't own the company, but he's still a spokesperson.
The colonel similarities are there. He wasn't, you know,
nearly as
throwing fits and
cantankerous. Yeah, whatever.
He wasn't throwing spaghetti down on the floor.
Yeah, he was generally kind of a cool guy. And then in 2000, International Home Foods, which is who he sold to, purchased by ConAgra. But then ConAgra, just last year, 2025, sold to Brynwood Partners. Cranking out. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's rather you didn't bring those guys up.
I'm just, it's the reality.
ConAgra, I think, merged with Hunt Wesson. And I don't know. I can tell you at some point, I definitely went up against them in Wesson Oil versus Crisco. Yeah. And I hate to say it, but they were peddling Peter Pan, I'm pretty sure, for a while.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not something we talk about on this podcast.
No.
Sorry to hear that. Anyway, last year, Brynwood Partners got them, and they're still making it, still cranking it out of Milton, Pennsylvania, where the chef himself moved it. One of their things that is sort of advantageous that happened way back when is obviously health craze now. You know, a lot of products that were started way back when his was, in the 20s and 30s, wasn't necessarily, you know, as it's... progress, they've changed things or it's not healthy. But one of their big sayings is no news is good news, meaning we're not like, hey, guess what? We've changed this. Because the fact is, they've always been made without artificial flavors, artificial colors, and artificial preservatives.
Oh, really?
Yep. And the product, it says that everything you get, at least in the United States, is prepared in Milton, Pennsylvania, in the exact same town where Hector himself founded the company.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. They lean in. You can kind of see it on the thing we just saw, but if you remember it from ads when we were growing up, the TV ads leaned hard into kids, busy parents, convenience, many catchphrases over the years. Chef Boyardee, nobody doesn't like it. Just like the Sara Lee thing.
What's there?
Nobody doesn't like Sara Lee?
No, it's nothing better.
Nobody.
Nobody does it better. I think that was.
I think that's it.
That was right. Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, you're thinking
of. Yeah, that was Barbara Streisand, I'm pretty sure. The Way We Were. Robert Redford.
Nobody does it better. It's not Streisand. Nobody does
it better. It was a movie, The Way We Were, with Barbara Streisand and
who does the definitive version of Nobody Does It Better? It's a James Bond.
Oh, maybe it was Carly Simon. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. That sounds better. Yep. Her version turns out is much better than Barbara Streisand.
Maybe Barbara Streisand didn't do it.
She didn't do it the best. Lying. Yeah. With the chefs touching it. You saw him in the commercials. You see him on the thing. The whole idea is, yeah, you're making this meal for your family, but guess what? It's got the chef's touch. Boyardee's a part of it.
What's the Sara Lee slogan? Oh, everybody doesn't like something, but nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. Once again, Tim, pretty close on this. I was wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
It was a Boyardee at some point. Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee. It was a big one during the 80s. You remember that one?
It's a mouthful, though, that Sara Lee thing.
I think it's the back half they really leaned in. We do the shopping, you do the cooking.
Yeah.
Makes it easy, yeah? Chef Boyardee succeeded even back then and still today because
for a while they're going, me a shopper, you a cooker.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's how I would have done it.
Chef Boyardee made Italian food feel safe and approachable. It removed the cooking anxiety. They targeted kids and exhausted parents. They promise warmth, fullness, and zero effort. It's not about the taste. It's about the comfort and the reliability. It is Italian-American food. The flavors were adapted. It's a sweeter sauce. It's a softer pasta.
Definitely sweeter.
Pasta and less acidity, designed for American palates. The fact is kids shape the brand more than the adults. Portions, texture, flavors, engineered for kids because kids hate surprises with food. They hate texture. They want consistency.
Yeah.
And that's what this thing is delivering them. One of the first ever heat and eat meals. It paved the way for SpaghettiOs, TV dinners, microwave meals. The idea of like, hey, fast. You buy at the grocery store and you're doing it fast. You don't have to go to this aisle and that aisle. And then you come together and you put it all. You're just buying a thing. Boom, that's dinner for tonight. Makes it real, real easy. And this is long before microwaves, obviously. They've gotten in this game. The iconic products, beefaroni, spaghetti and meatballs, ravioli, lasagna, and mini ravioli.
Now, are they only microwave now?
No, man.
No.
You get bunch of cans there. Big old cans.
Cans, got it.
You got like the single kind of, soup size cans.
Are they frozen too?
The bigger ones too. I don't know that they're in the frozen game.
Yeah.
I don't know why. They probably are those, the ones where you slide out the thing. But... yeah, I think they're doing a great business with the microwave stuff and then certainly the canned things.
The no preservative, though, that's... They got to be wording it a little differently.
Yeah, that I don't know if that's...
Pick up a...
Because without preservatives...
A lot of words, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot happening here in the back.
Is there an eight or an eight?
There's a...
Monotrate, that's got to be a preservative, right?
It says vitamin B1.
Oh, it's got riboflavin.
Oh, yeah.
No dice.
Tell me about that.
Not a clue.
I think it's riboflavin.
Yeah, we'll go with it.
Riboflavin. Randy, you were in a band called Riboflavin, weren't
you? Yeah, they were good.
I love this early stuff.
We are riboflavin. You guys like what you're eating?
Yeah, I don't do a lot of gluten, so I just sort of stuck with the meatball. Pretty good. Yeah.
You walk.
I'm not going to eat this ever.
How does it compare to, say, like Olive Garden?
Olive Garden's going to be better.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
A microwave thing with a bunch of ingredients.
I'm saying purely on taste. If I serve it on a nice plate.
Nope.
You immediately are like, oh, this is a microwave.
The problem is, man, my brain, I know the flavor since I was a child. So I know. Yeah.
Got it.
It's got such a, you know that taste.
And different than
he was on the go.
I was on
high school, him and Mike and Eichner and all those guys.
Baseball.
Ickes,
sorry.
Eichner. Yeah, man, it was just, no, it was, though. That's what Tim was saying earlier. It was the greatest thing to have. I'm hungry. I want to eat something. This takes 2 minutes to make.
Yes.
Microwavable bowl, zap it, done.
Boom. The conclusion would be, for what it is, it's good, but it is not, don't mistake it with, you know, fine Italian food or even,
yes.
Or even,
yeah, don't do that. But then there was times, man, where if kids just grew up on this and then they went to real Italian because this is loaded with sugar, then they would have the real Italian, which is sweet, and they would be like, eh.
I think your taste buds change as an adult.
Sure.
I think there's some people might enjoy this like you did, where like, oh, this reminds me of my childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, 100%.
Assuming you had a good childhood.
Oh, yeah. It was, a lot of fun. But I'm just saying.
He had a lot of fun in his childhood.
Yeah,
of course he did.
We can talk about it.
A lot of fun. Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm glad he's still, rocking. In Pennsylvania too, it's good. And then he died in Ohio, so
it's where most, oh, probably most doing the restaurants in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, he's old.
Tim, where are we this weekend?
Yeah, Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah, hilarities. And we'll have to go by. There's addresses in here for some of those restaurants. We'll
see what's, it might be still fun. Open.
And then Cleveland is not one of them, but there's a few places where he's got statues. He has one in Omaha, I believe, because it's
Omaha.
Is that a big ConAgra?
ConAgra,
spot?
Yeah.
And then there's one in Pennsylvania.
Milton. Yeah,
is it Milton? Yeah. Which is pretty cool. Fun fact, Chef Boyardee, one of the only brands to ever request to be removed from an episode of the show Seinfeld. Seinfeld came up on our Entenmann's episode.
Yeah.
If you remember. 1996 episode called The Ride. Do you remember this? Do you guys remember any?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I actually do remember that. The episode called The Ride. Because people have talked about, like, that's one of their favorite episodes.
Kramer is operating is it a horse and buggy situation?
Sounds right.
He feeds the horse excess cans of beefaroni, which the horse then smelling terrible. That was a big part of the episode, but they changed it to beefarino from beefaroni.
Oh, yeah.
Because Boyardee's like,
yeah, I don't want this bad.
No, I don't blame him, man.
Not him, but the company.
It's like Ollie Gates didn't want to be, didn't need the NFL.
Ollie Gates?
Yeah. Gates Barbecue. We talked about it last.
Oh, week. Yeah. Gates Barbecue.
Oh, love
Gosh,
that.
Gosh, that was so funny.
Love that.
Yeah, we're good.
Anyway, that's the story of Chef Boyardee.
Man, I think it was really interesting.
Bang up job, man.
Really good job.
Great guy comes over. He's working as a kid.
Yeah.
Hooked up with Wilson. I mean, he's,
yeah, man.
He's in. He's in with the president.
Crushing stuff in the army. He's doing.
Yeah.
I mean,
and he wasn't angry. Like, what's his face there with the
Mussolini?
You know, well, that too. No, the KFC guy. Remember?
Oh, Colonel Sanders.
Sanders.
Yeah. Still, you know, man.
And him getting out, him selling for so that people could keep their jobs, whether that's true or not. I like it.
Yeah, we'll go with it.
We'll have to see in Cleveland. I would check that if there was any. There must be some restaurants with like a tip of the cap to the guy.
I hope so.
There's some nice restaurants in Cleveland.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the Comedy Club, you've never been there. The Comedy Club has an amazing
restaurant. Yeah, that place is.
That's Sean.
Oh, in the club?
Is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like
gourmet.
At Hilarities?
Like fine dining good.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
All right, we're going to.
Real good.
Tickets still available. Going to be great. Hang with my brother. It'll be fun.
That's right, man. Are we going to do anything fun with him?
Yeah, we're going to go out to dinner with him for sure. And then he wanted to bring us to a Cavs game.
Cavaliers?
Yep.
We got shows, I believe.
Daytime. He was hoping we'd stay another
comedy
day,
shows.
It's not, none of the books. We're too busy.
They're probably good,
the
right?
Consumers, for God's sake. They have absolutely no idea.
I seen and remember they're good. Man. Randy, you want to see what the Cavs are doing?
That's kind of ratchet. The win-loss record,
it's
Randy.
The Cleveland Cavaliers, not the Virginia Cavaliers.
I don't know why.
I don't know why. But they've got to fire up.
I got to have a sign, man.
Yeah.
Woo! This thing's going to need to cool down after this episode. I'm going to do comments while Randy looks up the Cleveland Cavaliers record.
All right, 21-17.
21-17, okay. Yeah.
Over 500 ball.
Yeah.
Looks like they're in sixth place.
Sixth if they were at the Eastern Conference, so they would make the playoffs right now.
We're all Cavaliers guys here, right?
Sure.
Is that fair?
You guys ever sit in court seats in your lifetime?
Yeah. No. Close.
Of course he has.
Yeah.
Greg Warren, we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, when I lived somehow, but when I lived in Houston, you guys know Troy.
Yep.
He was buddies with all these guys that worked for one of those oil and gas companies.
None of this is surprising.
The Koch brothers, who are famous for their political contributions, they had these guys worked for Koch, and they would get tickets. And I remember I was down there with them one time, and it was crazy because it was when the Rockets were good, and it's when Olajuwon was there, and it's what you don't see from the seats that I'm used to sitting in. This guy is giant and lightning quick. Like you don't appreciate how quick these guys are, man.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of looks one way and then goes the other. Like it was really, really cool to see, man. Forget that.
Courtside, man, I don't know. You're on the bench effectively.
Yeah, I don't
just
know.
Just being over. Your same level as the guys on the bench.
We might not have been courtside. We were just down low.
Even still.
Greg's courtside with the Koch brothers, and I get made fun of for being fancy.
I mean,
to think about.
Again, I mean, we're just kind of having fun with all that stuff.
We are. You fight. Anybody shoots back at him, and it's like, whoa.
Just a couple knock-around guys telling some jokes. Oh,
we're just having fun, man.
I don't know, man. I mean, you know.
That's a good play, man. Yeah, I'll do something dumb, and I'll say, hey, guys, this is a comedy show. We're just enjoying ourselves.
Everybody calm down. I would say that of all the stuff that we get trouble over, you're the most defensive about that. You just get all fired up about the country club thing.
Wait, you're looking at me.
But I'm talking about Tim.
No, I would say of the three of us, the person who dishes out the most irrational things is you. And he takes it, and I stand up for myself.
Sure, some of it is obviously in jest, you know?
Sure.
Like crazy,
he's just kidding.
Like absurdist, you know, stuff. But you guys hit a little closer to home, you know?
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you guys.
Not our fault that you're a little more abnorrant.
What is that?
A little more?
Abnorrant.
Abnorrant?
Abnorrant. A-B.
Greg's a little more abnorrant than us.
That guy, didn't he invent baseball?
And it's not A-B. It's O-B.
Abnorrant double day.
O-B-D-U-R-A-T-E. It's a fun one.
And it's pronounced abnorrant?
I believe it is.
O-B.
O-B.
D-U-R-A-T-E.
Abnorrant? Stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or course of action.
Yeah.
There it is.
And I think he's got the pronunciation right, too.
Very proud of myself.
That's great.
And
what is it? Yeah, it's pronounced Boyardi.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You want to do some comments?
I got some comments for you.
These are from the...
You
got that bang out word there.
As Greg would say... Doritos episode.
Yeah.
With guest host, our good friend, Steven Rogers.
Didn't get booed from what I hear.
Yeah. He did not get booed. I wanted to get into that right away. Steven commented on that that episode.
Do you want to know real quick, Tim? Greg technically got booed at one of his shows in Kansas City.
I did?
Keep talking.
He was talking barbecue, and he took a shot at the burnt ends in KC, and it was actually really funny. And he goes, no, I stand by it. And, you know, in a joking way, people are like, boo. You know, yeah.
Then I doubled in, double down.
Oh, you drill, you triple down.
And then went in on KU.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I loved it.
Wow.
He goes, I don't care. I don't care. I will stand by Texas barbecue.
And then was he like, great. I'm just messing around up here. You guys don't have to be so sensitive, Kansas City.
Again, I love Kansas City barbecue. I think it's amazing. I just think the brisket in Texas is markedly better, and I tend to, errantly or not, I have started to be more of a rib guy, so I do measure a barbecue place by their ribs, but I've always sort of measured a barbecue place by, if you don't have really great brisket,
That's really where, if that's not working, then why are we even at the shop?
What are we even doing?
Yeah, but now, I mean, you know, I mean, I hit some places in Kansas City where I wouldn't say their brisket is remarkable, and they had some other great stuff.
All right. Anyway, Stephen Rogers himself commented. He said, thanks so much
in there
for having me, guys. And I love you, Nateland fans. P.S. I didn't get booed.
They booed him.
Shout out to Lisa Dyer, 7706. She commented, she said, I'm in the hospital. I'm 68 years old, a concussion and a broken left leg. This episode is the best. You guys are making my day. I love to laugh, and I've been keeping the hospital staff laughing with my silly thoughts. Greg, you're not old. You are funny. I'm watching while I wait for PT.
Well, that's nice.
Therapy. Lisa, we hope you feel better.
Yeah, get better. Yeah,
thanks for...
I hope we're bringing you joy.
Get well, Lisa. While, thank you for listening. Yeah, sorry you're laid up. That's rough.
Toby W. 5705 said, hi, guys. Love the podcast. Just went back to listen to episode one, the Duncan episode, after this coffee conversation. Sean has been using the Bad Batch defense since the beginning. Defending the donuts against Tim's attacks, even put a time code down.
Oh, man. A guy had a rough set a few weeks ago, came off and goes, that bad batch.
That audience was a bad batch.
Hey, if it fits, if you fits, I'll take it.
Hunter Otten 110 said, I'm watching this at 7:45 a.m. And y'all said Tim was at a corporate gig. I was thinking, who has a corporate gig at 7 a.m. in the morning? I forget that this podcast isn't live. Keep doing what y'all do.
That's all right, man. Hey, he was so into it.
Yeah,
he,
I know.
He didn't really understand the construct of time.
That's great. C. Bailey, 4322, took us down a road. She said, in 1990, I had a piece of Doritos stuck in my esophagus.
Oh, boy.
Whoa.
And it cut off my airway. My mother asked if I could breathe, and I only had enough air left in my mouth to squeak out a no. She came right behind me and did the Heimlich maneuver, which absolutely worked. From then on, she never wanted me to eat Doritos alone.
Yeah.
That's her solution. Yeah. But they're still one of my favorites, despite possibly dying from them. Also, glad to see Stephen Rogers. He's a great hang, as they say.
Dude, did you guys ever legitimately choke as a kid? I did.
No, I got the wind knocked out of me a few times, which is a terrible, terrible feeling. But I don't like something lodged.
Yeah, lodged.
No. Yeah, man.
Jawbreaker.
First said it just for laughs, 2001.
Choked pretty hard.
Choked pretty hard.
I liked it. Randy didn't, but I liked it.
Yeah, Randy don't care.
Wait, Jawbreaker? Tell me
story. I was just watching TV. I don't know. I was, 10, 11, 12. And I just remember it just went down. And I just remember I popped up and I'm like, I'm choking. Like I was 100%. My mom, former nurse, very calm, just got right up.
Heimlich
spit it out. And I'm like, boy, am I glad you were home. And I threw all those Jawbreakers out, and I will never eat a Jawbreaker again.
Really?
But I'll eat a Werther, which is like,
and ironically,
I feel like just as
didn't something like this happen recently?
Yeah, that was the pasta last year when I was, that was like, I was choking, but I was not like, I don't want to get too, like, I had to get myself sick to get it out. That was like on the line. This was a blocked airway.
How many times you been Heimlicked?
Once, that one time.
Wow.
And it was terrifying. But Jawbreakers, I remember when they were very, like, did you ever have those as a kid? Like,
yeah.
The Jawbreakers?
Sure,
you know, and they just got very, I'm trying to think, they almost like, very slick the more you were just like, rolling around your mouth. And, like, it was just, I don't know, I'm just, boom, it just went down. And if I see them, I'll throw them out. If I see kids with them, I'll be like, nope, not my watch. I don't want you going down.
Well,
yeah, there are dangerous candies. Sorry, Jawbreaker. I love you, but
I mean, it's in the name.
You spend so much time thinking about what it can do to your jaw.
Exactly.
You don't stop and think about
what it can do to your throat. Tim.
You know what I mean?
I like what you're saying, buddy. Good point.
Speaking of choking, just because people like the adventures of the Convy Boys on their monitors, we saw Jack flip out of the his crib, and people enjoyed that story. Timothy had a babysitter the other night. He's pulling all kinds of shenanigans to keep from going to bed. This is my my 3-year-old. And one of his moves is, I'm hungry. I can't go to bed. I'm hungry.
Heck, I can't. A guy's got to eat. Can't go to bed hungry.
Bring me some food.
What, is he an orphan?
I need a snack. I need a snack. I'm hungry. Or he'll go, hey, Dad. And just rubs his stomach. That's how we know.
That's great, he
pulls this with the babysitter, and she brings him a fig bar. Right, and she gives it to him.
A Newton?
There's like a healthier kind. It's like
Norton,
Nature Made. No, I don't know what it is, but
Randy,
hang on. You get one blink. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. That does count.
So she brings him this thing, and then she gives it to him and waits. And he's like, "You can go." And she's like, "No, I'm going to stay here and watch you eat it and make sure you don't choke." And he's like, "Okay." So she stays for a second, and then she leaves and she walks out, and then he goes, "Hey, Olivia." She goes, what? And he goes, I'm choking.
didn't think to actually change his voice a little bit.
No.
Okay.
He knew. I think he was going for the laugh. Like, oh, yeah. He walked out.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
If he's doing bits like that young.
I know.
This kid's a prodigy.
I know. He's a funny guy. Cody Corbett. I'm choking. Cody Corbett, 2674, said, love this episode. I was sort of disappointed the guys didn't get a hold of a Doritos Roulette, a bag that made that mixed hot Doritos with normal Doritos, and during the college years that provided so much entertainment with friends.
I regretted that. I there were some mixes that I forgot about.
Yeah.
That was on me.
You either get the real spicy one or a normal one.
Yeah.
Anyway, interesting. Jennifer Wiley, right? 4847, no stranger, commenting on the podcast, said, thanks for another great episode. I'm so glad this podcast is continuing and you are not quitters like those losers over at Nateland. I cannot believe they couldn't even make it 390 episodes.
Yeah.
It's coming from a good place.
It is, man.
She's kidding. It's Jennifer.
Yeah, she's messing around.
Yeah. We wish them the best in all their future endeavors.
Absolutely, man. Not going anywhere, that podcast.
No, it's
going
to be great.
Just rebranding.
Kelly Berkland said, my favorite after school snack in high school was the Doritos sandwich. White bread, Miracle Whip, nacho cheese Doritos topped with another piece of white bread. Squish it down, but not too thin. It's glorious. And then a lot of people commented and were like, 100% absolutely in. Big fans.
Wow.
And they insisted that it's got to be Miracle Whip.
Really?
With the Doritos.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah, boy. Miracle Whip can really cause some problems if you have that as opposed to just mayonnaise.
Health wise or what?
No, just, I mean, it's a different taste.
Oh, people, like, you mean me, if people want one and get
correct.
The other. Which do you prefer?
They're pretty much that. I'd probably go with mayo. But I'm saying if you had just Miracle Whip, I'd be like, oh, that's fine.
Well, that's sort of what their commercials wanted you to do.
Oh, is that? Was
their
that
whole campaign was if it's not mayonnaise, it's Miracle Whip. Basically, like if you give me something besides Miracle Whip, you try to pawn off mayonnaise and be like, that ain't Miracle Whip.
You know, that was so their whole saying, thing. Why would you put mayo on in the first place? Yeah, stay with us.
Yeah, come on, man. It's sort of like toaster strudel versus Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
Yeah, back in the day, whatever toaster strudel, whoever made that, their whole thing was like mom gave them Pop-Tarts and then the other kid would give him some of his toaster strudel and they went to the kid's locker. There was like 85 Pop-Tarts in there that his mom had given him every morning, and he didn't want them because he was getting toaster strudel, which is superior.
Right.
Yeah. Who made toaster strudel, Randy?
I know this.
I would imagine the Germans.
It wasn't Post, was it? I know this.
Pillsbury.
Oh, Pillsbury.
That's right, man. Dough man. Somebody big. Yeah.
Man, I had some Pillsbury icing last night.
Just eating icing?
Not good.
Just eating.
You were just eating icing?
Sorta.
Either you're eating icing or you're not.
Yeah.
I put some icing on a Kind bar.
Wow.
I I only did it once. I didn't go off the rails.
I'd totally do something like that.
It was bad to do it at all.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get caught because Heather, it was a new icing that she was going to make for a cake. And then I have to hide the evidence. So she's like, hey, did you see that?
Nope.
I'm like,
nope.
I don't know what you're talking about. So once she hears this, that'll.
Yeah.
Busted, so.
Yeah.
So it's.
Thanks for sacrificing for the podcast, though, man.
Yeah, man. No, that's what I do.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
Did you cover it? How much icing? Like a little spoonful, or like you created a whole new thing?
Yeah, yeah. You'd almost say it was. Yeah, you
this happened
the,
last
you
night.
You would think the Kind Bar was the filler. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah, so it's a lot. Yeah, yeah, that yeah. Because earlier you kind of said a little.
And I got it was magical.
Yeah,
Pillsbury, it was good.
Pillsbury cream cheese icing
on a Kind Bar.
It doesn't matter.
You so can I want to make sure.
You can put it on Pringles. It
I saw Heather over. Last night.
Yeah, you
she's
did.
At the club working.
That's right. And I'm.
And you're not.
I'm living in
you're
the.
You're not there. You're at home eating a Kind Bar with her icing.
I am. And, I'm going to get caught. So.
Yeah, Heather listens, man.
She does.
Sorry, Heather.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Lots of reasons.
Yeah, we're all sorry.
But, you know, I was, you know, there was a time I would have ate the whole bucket and only ate about a third.
Fuck it, man. Isn't that Dusty Slay talk?
I don't get it.
Huh?
Remember when Dusty said he used to get a bottle of peanut butter or a bucket?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry, Dusty.
Dusty Slay!
Uh-oh.
Go, take your 17 episodes since you referenced Dusty Slay. Dusty Slay.
Nothing from Randy on that.
Nope. No.
Nothing. Ice cold over there.
I was trying to get you.
Put his hands in his pockets.
Yeah. Wait, he's walking off. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. You got some mail?
We got Sean's
corner?
Sean's little corner. It's getting bigger, guys. He's doing other stuff.
Yeah,
he's,
send those
he's
emails.
Expanding.
Yeah.
We're expanding through the.
We're probably going to be its own podcast at some point.
It could be theconsumers390@gmail.com. So just a reminder.
Yeah.
Remind everyone. So some birthdays that happened this month. Happy birthday to Sarah and Olivia, who this is from Craig, which I'm going to assume is your father.
Okay.
So fun. I think they got the surprise. So that's pretty nice. Bradley Morris, he turns. An age that we don't know, but that's okay. Happy birthday to Ben Primo, Brad Rushton, and 40th birthday to Amanda Perkins. 40, man. You remember 40? Randy liked it. Not
I
sure.
Sure do. I remember it, man.
Mine was, I say that because mine was at the height of COVID, April 25th. 2020.
Right.
Not much going on.
Mine anybody right do anything before. Special for you on that birthday?
Greg did. And we started a poker game online.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Thank you, Greg.
We started online poker, and I believe I sent you some Red Lobster.
And you did send me some Red Lobster, buddy.
Wow.
And that poker game got us through COVID, man.
That did, man. That was a bunch of fun.
Twice
man.
A week, maybe?
I did some of those, and that was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you
we
did
some good times, didn't we, guys?
Yeah, we did have to. A
lot of pickleball.
A lot of pickleball, a lot of poker. I think once somebody had to pull Dan duty every week on that poker thing where you had to, he'd swear that his computer was.
Just getting him logged
thanks
on.
Thanks a lot, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs. And then be like.
Dan's also the guy who we were talking about at the beginning of the show. And if you know anything about poker, Dan's the guy who will go all in with an offsuit 2-8. And beat you while you have pocket aces.
Oh,
and then
man.
Be like, you idiot, in your face, dummy Greg.
Remember when he did it to Biggerstaff?
Oh, yeah, Bob Biggerstaff. He tried to shake
his
hand.
He threw a fit. Biggerstaff got so mad, he walked out.
Yeah.
Dan tried to shake his hand, and Bob wouldn't even shake his hand.
Yeah, I just slapped. Get away from me, man. Hey, just get away from me.
Yeah.
Dan McKenzie, living legend. So,
Couple more.
Scott Campbell. Hope you enjoy your birthday,
Scotty!
Buddy. Scotty Campbell. And finally, Grant Beal, seventh grade social studies teacher.
There we go.
I think he is going to play this for his students. That's what it sounds like. And they'll get a kick out of it, being like, see, guys, I'm the consumers are talking about.
What up, Mr. Not just Jennifer Beal's uncle.
No, not just that.
Not just Flashdance fame.
What a feeling.
And we're one more pivot. I thought this was kind of nice. Joe and Leona, 26 years, wedding.
Anniversary.
Number 40?
No, well, 26 years. Number 40.
No, I said remember 40.
Oh, I do remember.
Remember 40. Yeah.
Remember 40.
Wow. And we also have, and then there's some gifts coming in, which I know with Greg's schedule and stuff, like, we get on, sometimes there's some delays, no big deal. But Greg got some coffee.
We all got coffee.
Well, we all did, yeah, from Ryan Campbell.
Ryan was in Kansas City. Ryan. She's a longtime Ludo fan. Really, really nice. Got to talk with her for a while. She's really, really nice.
She's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So we appreciate it. We're all going to get some. Sent the lovely card, which I have right here.
Thanks, I believe Ryan. The brand name is Parisi.
That sounds right.
Coffee. Do you have it with you?
I did not bring it in, but I can bring it back.
Anyways, it's Parisi, which she told an interesting story that I think is now Costco's private label supplier, Parisi.
Oh, that's who they're getting it from?
I think so. There's no way of knowing. I mean, we don't have the samples here.
Well,
thank you, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Are you just keeping the coffee for yourself?
Ryan. Not at all. No. Dude,
this is a lot of coffee. Yeah, man.
You took all that Freedom Coffee.
Yeah. The thing is, it's not called that. What is it called?
He called
American Coffee Company or something? Yeah.
Didn't he call it Freedom Coffee?
He called
it something else.
Call it Operation Coffee.
He's
out of Wisconsin.
I just emailed him this morning. He just sent me. He's got more stuff on the way. Old Sammy.
Oh, hang on, guys. Greg's
Greg's phone's ringing. Yes. Go ahead, I would be on trial right now. You're probably fired from the show.
Is it your watch guy? Is it your watch guy?
Could be, man.
Yeah.
Could be. And if only I could fire you from the show.
Well, technically you can, man. You do have rank. Finally, are you ready for this, guys?
Yes. Yep.
This is big. I think we're going to read this one.
Oh.
So this is from a person named William Cartier. Hope I'm saying that right. I plan to send you guys this package a couple weeks ago, but while waiting for the last few deliveries, my wife kept breaking into the snacks.
Mm.
I couldn't send you open snacks, so I had to eat the rest of them and find my way back to the store to buy new packages. I finally got it all together and hope you all enjoy. I have a feeling nothing needs to be labeled and you can figure out what is meant for whom. I made sure to print this out large enough even for Greg to read. Shot it, Greg. Oh, I like man. It. I like it, Billy.
Real solid.
Merry Christmas. So, and it's just...
Billy, known as Maximum Goodness.
Yeah, Maximum. I mean, we got tasty cakes.
That's the crimpets. That's your favorite thing. That's for Sean.
We got Country Club Shampoo. Hilarious.
Love it.
I'm not sure who that's for. I don't know. Yeah.
Thank you.
A bunch of hats. Greg, how do we say that so I don't butcher it?
Okaloosa Gas. They're all Okaloosa Gas. I mean, I'm familiar with Oskaloosa, which is a town in Iowa. Okaloosa, I'm not sure. Really cool looking hats, though.
Oh, yeah, they are.
We got a bunch of them.
I mean, there's so much. That's like
a third.
What
else you got?
We got this shirt right here.
Bad Batch. Nice.
Well, it's a double X, so we definitely know what it's for.
What else you got in there, buddy?
Let's keep on cooking here, gang. We got lifesavers.
Yeah, nice. That's you, buddy.
Now we're cooking.
Those are the ones you said didn't exist.
No, not the mints. There was the sorted
pack. Yeah, but still, I bet you that's for you.
Probably. Oh, now here's. Well, now they got me. Dead bang on this one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There you go. That's the
storybook
old
storybook lifesavers. That,
amazing, man. Way to go.
Yeah, right, I mean, dude. There's just it just keeps.
Keep going, going, buddy.
I am, man.
Yeah, this is like Christmas.
Yeah.
Hang tight here. All right, so we got.
I think that's a different.
Was this a different one?
Yeah. Oh, there's three packages right there.
This is a different person?
Yeah, I think so, but.
Oh, well, then I apologize.
Yeah, it was in a that's a different box, isn't it?
Well, there's three boxes, so yes. Two are the same. So okay.
No, two are not the same.
All right.
So different person there, buddy.
All right. I asked. Whatever. I don't know. Then we're just, well. That there you go. There's Maximum Goodness.
We're grateful.
We are grateful, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know who's not grateful?
Who's that?
Ryan gave us that coffee. Kind of probably.
Oh, and you didn't bring it.
Yeah, you didn't bring it.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I was getting this
at 10:35 today.
Yeah. What happened there, man?
I don't know. You tell me what happened there. I've only said 8,000 times and yeah, please just give me a little notice.
Give him a little heads up, man. He gets real upset if you give him advance notice.
Yeah, for the product? I was out in O'Fallon.
You know, that's on me. I asked. I said, can you do it?
Well, obviously you could have said no. You couldn't.
Well, it was it would have been difficult. As it turned out, the prep came together a little bit easier than I thought for this, so I would have been able to get it. And I reached out, did I not? And said, hey, I can do it.
You did an hour and a half before being at the show.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah. I'm just asking for future. Yeah. I don't like a day because I get too much stuff going on.
He's going on a 5-day notice now, man.
No, but I'm saying I did.
Anything you need from him, 5-day notice.
Four. Yeah. Not a jerk about
in
it.
Writing.
Yeah,
in writing.
Yeah. It's got to go through another. We'll go
don't fax it.
Yeah.
No.
Do not fax it.
Yeah.
Fax it.
Yeah, no, the guy needs it.
Anyways, Well, this is all about the coffee bag.
Speaking,
Ryan, I am grateful. I am bringing him in, and I'll make sure everyone gets their bag.
You know a good notary? Because he.
It's got to be notary.
I don't know.
It's got to be notarized. Notary public.
So there you go. Outside of dropping the ball in the coffee, which is safe. I'll bring in next episode.
Nah, it's too late for that. And, sorry, Ryan. You lose.
We love Ryan.
Have you drank all the coffee? I mean, did Tim and I get a shot at it?
So you're saying this is a different person that also sent us this? Because you said different box.
There's three boxes.
And two are maximum goodness.
I don't think so, buddy.
Well, then what are you talking about? You just said that one of the boxes is somebody else.
I'd have to see the boxes.
Yeah, you did. This is.
You're falling apart.
I don't know. Three things here. We got three packages. I think you might have dropped one of those into another. But there's three packages that came. Three separate packages. One from Maximum Goodness, one from another place, one from another place.
Where's Mukopotamus' stuff is my question.
I don't know.
That never showed up. I think there's stockings too from our friend. There's Reese's stuff in there, right?
Yeah.
Can't trust
that. That's not Maximum Goodness. That's our friend from Grand Rapids. I'm almost positive.
Is that what it is? We got a John Deere book about dirt.
That's for me.
Yeah.
I love dirt.
Is that our friend up in, is that our friend up in Grand Rapids?
That's from Susan, also known as Dr. Buckeye.
Oh, Toledo. I'm sorry, Toledo.
Yep.
Toledo, yeah.
She came and saw us in Columbus.
Yeah. Nice. Wasn't she Toledo?
Columbus.
Okay, man.
Stupid Buffalo Bill.
Toledo, too?
There's a girl, there's a woman in Toledo that was really passionate about Reese's. And
Yeah.
She had.
No. Reese's, that was in Columbus.
No, I'm telling you, man. Me and you and Kevin talking about it.
You guys got to get it together,
that
man.
That gave us all the Reese's stuff?
Yeah, well, there's Reese's stuff here. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong.
That gave us all the Reese's stuff was in Columbus because Kevin wasn't in Toledo.
Aha, Kevin wasn't there. And look at this, some washable crazy art crayons.
Love crayons.
Oh,
love
yeah.
crayons.
Yeah, those are awesome. Is that's all from your friend there, Susan?
Yes, also known as Dr. Buckeye. So thank you to Susan. Susan's a real delight.
Care to share anything from that note?
Oh, Tim, this is probably for you, for your junior, for the littles.
I think that's mine.
There you go.
The books are for the Karate Chop boys. Those are my guys.
Oh, yeah.
The hat is for your son to wear to bed should he decide to jump out of his crib again.
Yeah.
And then gotta the Starbucks safe. Treat. Is there a Starbucks thing? Or are you holding out?
Hold on. No, it's coffee. Sean probably took it.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
She said, my son and I were so pleased to see you and Greg at the Funny Bone in Columbus, Ohio. My son commented on how nice you were, and he was impressed that you were not, quote, a jerk.
There you go, Timmy.
Is there Reese's in there?
Oh, that's rad. That's really cool.
I'm looking, guys.
Look at that thing.
There might be the other box that has the Reese's, and that might be the person, or I could be wrong.
My boys are going
to Is that in that same box that you're pulling out there?
Yeah, all the same. Reese's.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Look, there's a Reese's mug.
My boys are going to love that.
Treats, mug, hat, whatever is in that thing.
I'm going to guess cups.
Look at that, man.
Reese's Oreo cups. Are you kidding me?
Man, good. Sometimes they're life good. Is just worth living.
Yeah, buddy.
Today is one of these days.
That is the truth.
Here, Sean, I want you to have this. Get some icing. Put it on there. Go for it.
Don't test me. I do it. So.
That Reese's hat, man. Who's getting that?
Sean.
Randy. Just because I already have one.
You have a Reese's hat?
Yeah, I do.
That she gave us in Columbus. Ooh, that one's a little different. Hang on.
Ooh.
Randy, you want it?
Randy?
Orange isn't my color as much as I love Reese's. Yeah.
Randy, Susan.
I'd give that to Emma.
It's pretty good looking hat. That is kind of good.
Yeah, just real back to basics. It's a good looking hat.
Sorry, I was pulling stuff out. So what you talked about Susan, a.k.a. Dr. Buckeye?
Yeah.
Good. She got to make sure.
Yeah.
Susan,
Chef Boyardee episode, buddy.
These
kids' books, unbelievable. I'm very excited about the books for my boys. That's awesome.
The Zoom Let's Go thing looks like special effects in there.
Yeah, it's really cool. Thank you to anybody that sends us anything to the P.O. Box, whether we get it or not.
The good news, I got access now, so I can get down there and get in there. And in fairness to Greg, he's gone a bunch, so I'm not even busting.
Yeah, we have had a couple of things that haven't shown up. There may be some stuff sitting in Randy's house.
Mook stuff, man. Mook makes great stuff.
Yeah, that stuff I didn't see, man.
I'm so bummed.
Unless
about
Randy's
he might be off.
Could be sitting somewhere in Randy's house that we brought over and forgot to look at, or it could be, you know, Sean just sometimes takes his stuff, like that coffee.
Could be. Yeah. It was coffee themed. Wait, so where's the Starbucks stuff? It's all right. We'll get there. We'll get there. Anyway, this is great. I'm going to do a few plugs. Greg mentioned it, but Columbus, Ohio, we are at Hilarities this weekend. Shows are...
Nope. It's in Cleveland.
What did I say? Oh, Columbus. Sorry, I was thinking about Dr. Buckeye. Cleveland, Ohio. Hilarities is the club. Cleveland, Ohio. Just Boyardee country, I call it. We will be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can meet my brother and his beautiful wife.
Kern coming to multiple shows, you think?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
We'll see. Oh, pencils? Great.
No. Well, I think somebody's having a little fun with our friend.
With our friend? Me? You mean me because I'm an artist?
No. Tim, come on, man. The joke's right there.
I don't think he pays attention to the podcast.
You're not picking it? Okay, never mind. Usually I'm the one who's, I don't get these, and you're in the weeds. Still nothing, huh?
Yeah, kind of a shot at our buddy Greg Garcia that he didn't remember anything.
Yep. You don't know what's going on there, Tim.
Still don't know. Greg Garcia.
I mean, this kind of gets me back.
This
like
this kinda, elevates you. Yeah.
Huge, man.
You are not number one dummy on the podcast.
That's not what this is. Do you think it's an eyeliner joke?
I think so.
Well,
it's got a big eye on there.
Got a big eye on it. Yeah. Look at Tim. Here comes the spin.
I think he could be getting into a different box.
Given your new status as the official artist of the consumers, I've included a set of graphite pencils to get you started.
Tim wins. I think I've been wrong 6 times on this podcast.
Please do not give up due to the doctor that intimidated you as a child.
Oh, yeah, man. That guy.
Yeah.
This
has nothing to do with the eye thing.
Okay, man.
By the way, if you guys
were art guys like me, you wouldn't. I wouldn't stick.
If we were art guys like you, we had your talent, we wouldn't have quit because some doctor did a little better picture.
Hey.
Totally fair.
Listen.
Yes,
we need to get that art. I mean, people are calling in.
Yeah, come on,
for that picture. So I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
Redraw it. I'm not kidding. Over-under is at like 35 right now. I swear to you.
Yeah.
You can look at the
You're going to have to draw some pictures, buddy.
So I'm happy to. I'll do some work with these pencils as well. But you can't lose it again.
You're 100% sure you gave it to me.
98.
Okay.
Because I remember. I bet it's here.
You're probably right. The idea was.
Randy's shaking his head no.
We got to.
Did you throw it away, Randy?
Because we said we were going to ship it off.
If it got left like on the table or something, it may have gotten thrown away. I don't recall seeing it.
Well, I thought we left one pad of paper here. One big pad of paper.
I don't know. The point is, man, people want the art from you,
buddy. I'll draw. Yeah.
I'll draw three.
Get
of
to
them,
drawing.
A
little less talking.
I'll draw.
A little more drawn.
I'll draw.
Right, well,
crayon or pencils?
Crayons.
Well, and a couple people I appreciate coming to my rescue.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into that on the next episode of comments.
Oh, yeah. Very fun.
Yeah. So. People were real fired up about that.
Real fired up for sure. So.
Come see us in Cleveland this weekend and then also Chicago. Greg's got a whole bunch of shows in Chicago. There's still some tickets remaining.
Very few.
Some are Zanies in the city of Chicago. Some are in Rosemont, which is a lovely suburb. All kinds of action.
Right by O'Hare.
Yep. Great spot.
Man, those tickets are almost gone.
Well, I'm just saying. February 12th, the show starts. So
I had to get about 70 for Tim's in-laws.
Oh, did he hit you up for the comps?
With all due respect, you owe those people because those tickets are for Ellie.
Oh, that's the one.
Those tickets are for Ellie, and you
pretty much ruined the surprise party that she was throwing.
Did
her fiance.
Didn't protest one bit.
They're engaged now. You managed not to ruin that. Congratulations to Pat and Ellie.
Pretty much ruined.
Anyway,
I think.
Chicago shows. Right. And then my big hometown, Westport Plaza Funny Bone, headlining week is coming up. It is February 19th through the 21st. Those tickets are on sale now. Will I get to 14 shows? That's not important, guys. What's important is that everyone comes and we have a good time.
Better try to support our buddy on that one, man. That's going to be a great show. Is Kevin going to be part of it?
Kevin's going to be there. We're going to be debuting some new stuff. We've been working really hard. I got some new jokes that are coming out that week. It is going to be fun. Yeah, Westport Plaza, cheap tickets, February 19th. That's a Thursday. Join us on the Thursday through the 21st.
Who's opening?
Special guests, all kinds of stuff. I'm keeping a little of that. I'm playing it a little close to the vest for now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
That's right. Anyway.
He doesn't know.
I have no idea. Yeah. I got some ideas. I got some calls out.
So there. So then Tim's a liar, right? I did that earlier. And you're like, hey, he's a liar.
Tim lies a lot less frequently than you do.
It's not a lie.
It's also not.
I know, but I'm saying I did the same thing. That's what I was doing.
Yeah,
I was just doing that earlier.
No, you said something that wasn't true.
Yeah.
I could argue that. All I said is
bottom
I'm playing
line,
close
man,
to the
best. Tim ask you to open on these shows yet?
No.
Yeah, boy.
Because you're going to probably do that other one.
Yes. What hopefully. Other?
It's
in negotiations right now.
Yeah.
Really? You guys got stuff going on?
I got your guy working the deal for me.
Matt?
Yeah. 5%.
You're only giving him 5, huh?
That's all he needs.
He already bought him.
I don't know, buddy.
That is also making up. But yeah, I might be. We'll see. Maybe next week I can announce that. Maybe. We'll see.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know. If it's good. You know the business is.
Bottom line is, if you're hearing this, please go Bills if they're in it. If not, so embarrassing.
And come see my stuff, timcomedystuff.com, gregwarrencomedy.com. Lots of dates. Greg's got a whole lot of dates up there. Some he's doing, some he's not, but you should buy the tickets regardless.
That's just
going to be a big year
for, man.
Huh? Why? Well, no, because last week I said shows that were on your
website.
And you go,
we got to figure out something new about the website day to day. But I would like to say, when this comes out, our website will be intact.
Yep. So check it out. GregWarrenComedy.com. Anything that is up is absolutely going to happen. He will not cancel. If he did, I think that would qualify him as a liar if he put his show up in there.
All right, buddy. Now you're just ruining my career.
GregWarrenComedy.com, TimComedyStuff.com, and you can reach us. Oh, follow us on our socials. We're on Instagram.
Yeah.
We got an email, all that stuff. Get on there, chat it up, share the podcast with anybody who you think may enjoy it. We greatly appreciate all the support.
We really do.
You can call it.
We're the consumers. Thanks for consuming.
Go Bills, I hope.